Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's all online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's betterhelp.com.
I asked my mother about family history, but she shouted at me, saying that it's no use talking about what happened in the past. Not only my parents, but all Koryo people were afraid and never mentioned their history.
I'm standing in a cafe in Gwangju province, about 270 kilometers from Seoul. The people around me look Korean, but the language I'm hearing is Russian. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm So Jong Lee, and I've come to Koryo Village to meet the Ukrainian refugees who live here. This is home to the Koryoan families of refugees from the war in Ukraine. Their ancestors were Koreans who emigrated over 100 years ago to what is now Russia and Ukraine. They became known as the Koryo people.
My name is Anna. I came from Ukraine. I'm 12 years old. I can only speak in Russian.
Anna speaks Russian, not Ukrainian. Russian has long been the safest language for these Korean migrants. We'll find out why later. Anna goes to the local Korean school. She arrived 2 years ago. What does she think of this new country?
I didn't like it at first. I wanted to go home because I didn't have any friends. I didn't understand anything. I didn't want to go to school at all because I came from Ukraine, but then I started to like it. The bad thing is that I don't understand all the terms in school, so I'm not good at studying.
Anna is learning Korean from scratch. She came here from Ukraine with her parents and big brother.
We had a family business. We produced salads. Then I started going to work in Korea.
He left and the war started 6 months later. It was scary. We didn't know what was going to happen. We were sitting in the basement. We were very afraid for the children.
New arrivals come to the village support center for aid and handouts. Signs everywhere are in the Cyrillic and Korean alphabets. I'm here to meet Shin Jo-ya. She's one of the few people in the village who speaks Korean and Russian. Shin is in charge of helping everyone who arrives. She's been here for a long time, since 2001, when she left the far north of Russia to join her daughter who married a Korean.
I lived in Uzbekistan, then moved to Russia and again to Siberia. I told my daughter, I won't leave Siberia, I will die here. I saved everything I earned and bought a house, but it was useless. If things go wrong, you have to leave everything behind and take a bag and that's it. That's what happened to Ukrainian Koryo people. They had their whole life there for 10, 20 or 40 years, but then lost everything overnight. Think about it. They came with nothing but legal documents that proved their nationality. Some couldn't even bring that. How devastated would their hearts be?
But her new life in Korea was challenging.
Yes, it was difficult, very difficult. Like other Koryo people who had just come to Korea, I didn't know the language and I had a medical problem with my leg, but I had to find a job to help my daughter who was living in poverty. It was heartbreaking. So I did whatever work I could. I worked in a tire factory to earn money.
While Shin was working in the tire factory, she heard about a local cleric who helps foreign workers. Meeting him was to change her life. He asked her to join him.
He helped me a lot. I told him, I'm exhausted working in the factory. Are there other jobs for me? He said, sure there are. Come with me. He wanted me to be in charge of Russian-speaking people. I didn't have enough money to support myself, but he was persistent. He said, there's no one else who could do this job as well as you. So I joined him. That's how everything started. The reason why there are so many Koryo people in the village is because of this support centre. I worked 24 hours a day, from finding them accommodation and jobs to taking them to the immigration office. The pastor and I did everything.
I'm Lee Cheon-young, and I also contributed to the establishment of Gwangju Koryoin Village.
Cheon-young Lee is the cleric who helped Shin Jo-ya. He's known here as Pastor Lee. He tells me why so many Korean people originally left their homeland.
About 160 years ago, Korea couldn't provide for its people, and many didn't have enough to eat. So they moved to Russia, to Primorsky Coastal Province. Then, in 1919, the Japanese occupation of Korea began, so more Koreans moved to Russia. They were known as the Koryoin. They stayed there for a while, but in 1937 they were deported to Central Asia, to the region which is now Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan.
This was a period when Japan came into conflict with Russia, and suspicion fell on the Koryo immigrants.
Just before the mass deportation, nearly 3,000 leaders of Koryo people were executed. The Koryoin was seen as Japanese spies, so they couldn't use Korean, as their life was hanging by a thread. That's why their descendants cannot speak the language, and it affects them even today. And Koryo people living in South Korea are consigned to the lowest level in the labor market.
Persecuted and forced to stifle their own culture, Koryo people who had migrated to the Soviet Union and learned to speak Russian had to face more difficulties.
In 1991, when the Soviet Union broke up, each country became independent and put their own nationals first. Koryo people, without their own country, were naturally pushed to the fringes of society. They became strangers who belonged nowhere, moving between different countries that used to be in the Soviet Union.
The Koryo people have become stateless. Some decided to try to return to Korea, even though they would be treated as illegal immigrants. Pastor Lee decided to lobby the government to grant all Koryo returners 3-year visas, which finally happened in 2019. Then the Ukraine war broke out, and the trickle of Koryo refugees turned into a flood.
At the beginning of the war, the Koryo people asked for our help. They said, we left our home with only one bag for refugee centers in Poland, Romania, Hungary, Moldova. We don't know what to do. We want to know if settling in Korea could be an option. But we have nothing, not even a plane ticket. So, we asked the Korean government to buy us plane tickets, but they refused because they could not waste taxpayers' money on foreigners. So we started collecting money in the village and we bought tickets for the refugees. We brought 883 people just with the money collected in the village. That's a lot of money. About 1,200 Koryoin fled from Ukraine to Korea, and we brought nearly 900 people ourselves.
Pastor Lee realized that many Koryo kids weren't going to regular Korean schools because of the language barrier. They were hanging out in the streets with nothing to do. He campaigned for government funding to open the Senal School. Since 2011, It's Korea's only educational institution that offers Korean language courses and cultural activities for Korea students. I've come to Sanal School to meet some of the pupils.
I'm Albina Kim. I'm 16 years old and I come from Ukraine.
I'm Volo Kim. I'm 18 years old and I come from Ukraine.
What is a regular day like for Albina and Volo?
Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's boring.
I have a lot of classes. Korean, Taekwondo,
English and maths.
How was life in Ukraine?
Back in Ukraine I worked part-time. I worked in a factory.
I studied at school. Sometimes I went to the theatre.
The 70 students here are mostly Korea children from Ukraine, Russia and Uzbekistan. The school's vice president is Yongkyung Kim.
We have middle and high school students here for 6 months to 1 year, teaching them Korean and doing a lot of cultural activities to introduce them to Korean culture. The majority of them want to stay in Korea, so we want them to grow up to be responsible and healthy citizens of Korean society. Koryo people are very much family-centered. They come to Korea with their relatives. Even in the school, they have their cousins and siblings. That's perhaps why they adapt relatively faster than other students.
The family-centered culture of Korea people is different from the modern attitude of Koreans. In my culture, we've moved away from traditionally collective society to one which puts the individual and close family before the community. It's difficult for Korea people to integrate if they have to leave part of their families behind. The majority of the refugees from Ukraine are women and children. Many have husbands and sons still fighting in the war. School student Volo, who we met earlier, came here with his mother. I met Aleftina at the village cafe where she works.
My name is Aleftina Leonidovna Danilchenko. I'm 38 years old. I came from Ukraine, from the city of Kremenchuk. Gwangju Koryo village helped us to come here. Because of the war, I had to take my children somewhere else. Rockets came very close to us. There was a processing plant close by. There were 7 to 8 rockets a day. Some of them were shot down by the Ukrainian army. Some were not.
Aleftina escaped with her son and younger daughter.
I had to leave behind 3 brothers in Ukraine. My parents have already passed away. My husband and I have not lived together for 3 years.
She lives in the village alongside refugees, who are also Korea, but who arrived here from Russia. Is that difficult?
I think it's all politics. That's why there are good and bad people everywhere. That's why I treat everyone well. When I first came here, there was no health insurance. I had a lot of pain in my legs, so I had to pay a lot of money. And every winter, heating bills are so expensive, it's hard for me financially.
Aleftina feels welcome in the village, but tells me it's hard to meet Koreans.
With Koreans, there's no common topic to talk about. So I only talk to Koreans who come to the restaurant. But I have a good relationship with Koreans here. Some of them even laugh. They say something, but when I don't understand it, I smile back.
Does she plan on staying in Korea?
I don't plan ahead. After the war in Ukraine, I don't plan ahead. I live for today.
For now, Aleftina is content to stay here in Korea, away from the constant threat of bombardment. But I'm quite surprised how unconcerned she appears about the future. Her sense of where she belongs seems fluid. Pastor Lee talks about the way Korea people have been forced to hide their culture during their constant migration. It's almost like being stateless has become their identity. That's why even the trauma of war seems to have made less impact on children and adults. Aleftina says she lives for today, and Pastor Lee knows that the war in Ukraine feels temporary to many Korea. Of the 900 people he and Shinjuya helped to settle in the village, many have already returned to Ukraine.
They find housing too expensive. They had a good life in Ukraine before the war. They're homesick. They show me photos of their house with a huge garden full of flowers and over 600 square meters of farmland where they lived happily.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's all online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's betterhelp.com.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Sojong Lee, and this is Ukraine to Korea. For many Koreans, the war in Ukraine seems a world away from their own country's concerns. The complexities of the Korea situation within Russia are lost on them.
Most think it's not right for the Russian side to start a war, and we have to do something to help people in Ukraine. But the tragic thing is, Koryo people live in Russia too, not only in Ukraine. They meet on the battlefield and kill each other. Our own kind is caught in the middle of that horror. It's tragic.
Pastor Lee and his team are continuously working to strengthen the sense of community in the village, to make life in Korea better for all the Koryo, whichever side of the Ukrainian war they have escaped. And that includes nurturing relations between the Koryo and the local Korean population.
We focus on how the Koryo community brings benefits to Koreans in the village. We established several spaces where we can bring a lot of tourists. So each year, tens of thousands of tourists visit the village, and it leads to boosting local commerce, which is good for the Koreans in the town. That's why they welcome us. The arrival of Koryo people created many jobs too. Five elementary schools near the village are packed, which is rare, as in Korea, the decrease in population is a big problem.
Pastor Lee is helped by volunteers like Korean village guide Jin San-jung. He tells the story of Koryo people to visiting tourists. He also observes the relationship between local Koreans and the Koryo.
It gets better, little by little. But because Koryo people have a language barrier, it's hard to create relationships. Koryo people should try to be close to the Koreans. It's a problem of mindset. If you're going to live with Koreans, the first thing you should do is learn the language to be able to communicate with us, to share lives with us. We hold events where Koryo people can also come and join in, such as sharing food or making kimchi together. They should come more often to share time with us. On our side, we should support them and accommodate them with an open mind.
Pastor Lee wants to make sure the village is fully functioning and will benefit the wider community. Maintaining law and order is important.
I always worry about crimes. The village leaders share information to eliminate the slightest possibility of crime before it happens. There are several families and each has their leader. Under one leader, there are 50 relatives. So that's how we spread information to ensure everyone cooperates. To maintain a community, you need multiple institutions. You need a support center at the top, and below, you need economic, social, cultural, sports, and educational institutions. Also, we have a history museum and our own medical center, a center for the elderly, for the homeless, and an emergency rest area.
All of this infrastructure takes funding and official backing. Pastor Lee and Shin campaigned energetically and managed to win support from the city of Gwangju. The result was Gwangju City Goryeo Resident Support Ordinance in 2013. This meant funding for airline tickets and help with deposit and rent. More support followed, such as counseling for displacement anxiety and help with settling in, the school, a medical center, and a support center. Looking ahead, Gwangju City say they're promoting better integration by building up the village as a tourist attraction to educate Koreans on Goryeo life and history. The village also has its own art scene. It has an orchestra, a troupe of dancers, an art gallery, a choir, and a resident poet.
My name is Vladimir Kim. I'm from Tashkent. I was born on December 25th, 1955. I was a teacher of Russian language and literature by profession.
Vladimir has been living in the village since 2011 and now works at the local radio station. The second of his poetry books, The Train of Memory, was written in 2018 when he went on a trip to retrace the route of his parents' deportation to Uzbekistan.
This is my poem, people say. I am told that I am a copy of my father. I become happier from these words. I remember all the features of his face. I know he was a good and gentle man. When I was a child, we had a lot of relatives in our house. They sang songs in Korean. They told us stories about life in Korea. My father told me, Korea is our homeland, where we were born, and you don't know how beautiful it is. I've always wanted to see my parents' homeland.
How was it when he first arrived in Korea?
I was really impressed by the beauty of this country, the richness, how people treat each other. I really liked everything here. When I was growing up, I was often told by my good friends in Uzbekistan, we live in Uzbekistan and Russians live in Russia. Why don't you live in Korea? They didn't want to expel us, but they wanted to know how a person can live without his motherland. So I started to think about it, and I decided to leave Uzbekistan.
Poet Kim is married and has 5 grandchildren here, and that gives him a sense of security. Does it mean that he feels Korea is now home?
In general, I think my motherland is the place where I was born, so my motherland is Uzbekistan. Korea is my fatherland. It is the motherland of my fathers. I'll never say that things were bad in Uzbekistan. No, we took a lot of good from the Uzbek people. We celebrated all the holidays together. We rejoiced together, and we were sad together. I always remember Uzbekistan with love and warmth, but Korea is really the motherland of my fathers. I can't live in Uzbekistan again.
Poet Kim is comfortable living with his past and his present, but for more recent Goryeo arrivals, a sense of belonging in Korea is still a long way off. 12-year-old Anna Lee is a member of the village choir and has invited me to a performance. I listened to the music and the lyrics were all in Korean. Does Anna understand the meaning of the words and think about her people and their history?
No, I don't think about it. Sometimes I understand a couple of words, but I don't understand much.
Anna grew up in Ukraine, speaking Russian. Her parents were busy working and focused on integrating with Ukrainian society. But what you look like and where you fit in is a huge part of identity. In Ukraine, Anna, like many other Goryeo, attracted attention for not looking like other Ukrainians.
When I was in Ukraine, although I had a good relationship with my classmates, some people pointed fingers at me because I looked different. But here, I feel comfortable because everyone looks the same.
How does Anna feel her Goryeo identity goes down with her new Korean friends in the village?
They don't understand it. They just ask me, you look like a Korean, but why are you Ukrainian? They can't understand that I am a Korean.
Like many Koreans, Anna is used to struggle to fit in. But perhaps her new environment is now starting to feel like home.
I don't want to go back to Ukraine. I like living in Korea, so I think I will stay here even when the war is over. I have more friends. My parents think it's safer for me here. I want to stay.
Anna wants to stay. Poet Kim wants to stay. Aleftina isn't sure. and is waiting to see which way the political winds blow. But will they have a choice?
Koryo people always think that they might be kicked out, depending on the political situation. We've proposed a bill to give Korean nationality to Koryo people dozens of times, but not once has the bill gone up to the standing committee. The Koryoin have no right to vote. Which congressman would care about a group that doesn't have suffrage? They're not interested. The Korean government says that they welcome Koryo people and will make a better community for them. But I think it's all talk. They live day by day as manual workers. They have restrictions too in terms of employment. No matter how hard they try, they cannot work in high-quality jobs. Nationality principle rules in Korea, so even when a child is born here, they cannot be Korean. Once they become an adult, they can be evicted to a strange country.
I asked the Ministry of Justice to clarify their approach to the Koryo refugees from Ukraine. They state in an email that
Ukrainians are permitted to stay in the country until the local situation in Ukraine stabilizes.
This feels like a temporary welcome at best. However, the wave of Koryo refugees from Ukraine also presents an opportunity to introduce to Koreans the concept of cultural and ethnic diversity. The Ministry of Justice expresses their hope.
We hope that the people will take an inclusive and compassionate attitude so that the Koryo people, a Korean people, can settle down in the country without feeling alienated.
It's far from clear how Koryo refugees would be able to settle down in Korea. But Pastor Lee never gives up.
My biggest goal is to restore Koryo people's nationality. I'm not asking for it. It's their natural right. So we simply want to restore it so that they can contribute to Korean society as valuable future citizens.
For Shin Jo-ya, life has been lived in many places in great hardship, from Uzbekistan to Russia, to Siberia, and finally to Korea. She has at last put down roots.
I'm the third generation of migrants, but I still feel that this is the land of my ancestors. It's so good to walk on its soil. Even if I'm not well off financially, we speak the same language and we eat the same food. We Koryoin have been dispersed in other nations, but we must have a place that we can call home. We never could say to the people in the countries where we lived that this is our land. In the past, I thought, why am I Koryo blood? Because of my identity, my life was hard. We were never recognized as belonging to any nation. Many teased us for our different appearance, our small eyes, our short height. But now I am proud. I don't regret being Koryoin. People talk about Europe and America for having better living conditions, but to me, no country is better than Korea.
Younger generations of Koryoin, like Aleftina and Anna, don't yet have the same feelings for Korea as Boy Kim and Shin. But there is one thing that all Koryo people share. Instead of finding a land that they can call home, the Koryoin are most at home with their family, friends, and neighbors. No matter their nationality or blood, home is simply where your people are.
I am a copy of my father. I know it. I am happy that I live in the country of my fathers, and I understand the trace of those who cried. For them, Korea is both memory and love.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service with me, Soo Jung Lee. Ukraine to Korea was made for Bespoken Media by Amanda Hargreaves.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
Nicht träumen, Altours buchen. Zum Beispiel eine Woche Türkei. All inclusive, schon ab 489 Euro. Alles drin, alles gut, alles für dich. Altours, alles aber günstig.
17 members of Zambia's national football squad have been killed in an air crash. The players were on their way to Senegal for a World Cup game.
When disaster struck Zambia's national football team in 1993, many thought that was the end of the country's international football dreams.
These guys had a desire to take us to the World Cup.
The whole country was mourning.
Instead, it was the beginning of one of sport's greatest comeback stories.
We have to go on. We can't give up. We don't give up in Zambia.
Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service presents the four-part series, Copper Bullets. Listen now by searching for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.